What I'm talking to you about today are the results of a pilot study that I did called Project Dash, Divas Against the Spread of HIV/AIDS. And it's really an exploration of HIV risk and prevention with adolescent girls who have HIV-positive mothers. I have no conflict of interest to declare. So you've heard a lot of statistics about HIV today, so I think what I'm just going to focus on is where HIV is in Newark, New Jersey, where this study is taking place. So more than 12 out of every 1,000 people in Essex County, New Jersey, are living with HIV/AIDS, and East Orange and Newark, two of the cities that the data is recruited from, have the highest prevalence, more than 2% of the population living with HIV/AIDS. African-American adolescents accounted for 92 of the 144 cases of HIV in females ages 13 to 24 in this population. And among those living with HIV, African-American women make up 64% of HIV/AIDS cases. So as you can see, this is quite the epidemic, and I really appreciate my other presenters' research and knowledge looking at prevention. I think it's still something we need to be focusing on, and this is definitely the study. The magnitude of the study will reflect that. So what were my objectives? Well, I wanted to really explore the relationship and communication characteristics, and we'll talk about what that means, between daughters and their HIV-positive mothers as predictors of sexual behaviors and HIV risk in these young women. And so this study really came about as a result of the relationship I had with my mother and the conversations we've had around sexuality, sexual debut, and her transparency and honesty around saying, look, this is what's going to happen as you navigate these sexual decisions. And so I wanted to see how is that different for women who have HIV and what do they tell their daughters. I also wanted to examine other influences of the mother-daughter relationship, looking at the future aspirations of the adolescent daughter. What do they want to do with their lives? What do they see as their future trajectories? Communication with their mother with regards to her status. Do they talk about her status? Do they know their mom is positive? As well as mental health-related issues such as anxiety and self-efficacy. So my two central research questions were, how does the nature and the quality of the mother-daughter relationship influence the adolescent daughter's sexual-related behaviors? And how does a mother's HIV-positive status influence the information she shares with her daughter? Is she more likely or less likely to have these conversations? In doing a literature search for this, there's a lot of data out there about mother-daughter relationships when it comes to eating disorders, bulimia, anorexia, things of that nature. We don't see a ton in the literature around mother-daughter communication around HIV, which is really a missed opportunity for prevention in these adolescent girls. So as I stated earlier, the study took place in the greater Newark, New Jersey area, which is one of the epicenters of HIV in the state of New Jersey, and the participants were really recruited from relationships I've had with CBO providers and HIV/AIDS social service agencies. The criteria for inclusion was the mothers were 18 years or older, self-identified as black and HIV-positive, and the daughters were 18 years old and self-identified as black. And so it's mixed methods. This study is actually still in the data analysis phase. We just wrapped up collection a little while ago. But it was a qualitative, primarily qualitative dyadic interview study. And so we have descriptive data, which I'll report to you today, that we got from the demographic forms, and it was analyzed using SPSS and ALIS-TI. So this is a subset of the data that we have so far that I wanted to share with you. The average age of the mom was 49 years old. As you can tell from the employment and education, this is a very low-income population. Over half of the women were unemployed. Almost 20% had no income at all currently. And 61% of the sample had low income, $25,000 to $34,000. If you can imagine the cost of living in the greater New York metro area, this is not going to get you very far. 38.5% were high school grads, 15.4% had some college, and 3.8% graduated from college. So very low levels of higher educational attainment. And this is just for a subsample of the mothers. So we use a series of scales to determine the relationship that they have with the daughter, and I'll speak to some of what we're finding in the initial transcription and the qualitative data where we interview the mothers and the daughters. And it's really interesting that the moms were saying that they're very close with their daughters. You see here 58% of them reported being quite close on the scale. Almost 70% agreed to being satisfied with the way they communicate with their daughter. And then we asked them different questions around the mother's sexual history, the mother's route of transmission, really trying to get the context of the mother's status. And 60% of the mothers reported that they had been forced to have sex against their will. Almost 75% reported having had sex under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Almost a quarter of them reported not using condoms or dental dams during sex after the HIV diagnosis. And 20% of them reported their first sexual intercourse at the age of 13. So I'm really trying to frame for you the context of what the mother in the study looks like here. What I didn't say at the beginning was that the majority of mothers, almost half, reported having another chronic disease, which, as we know, adds to the burden of HIV treatment and care. And so the mothers reported really high rates of hypertension, depression, other STIs. So this is a small sample of the daughters. We're still working through the data, but the average age was about 29. So we had a lot of younger adolescents in the study, which I want to report separately, and that probably will be in a paper. But I wanted to just give you some of what the daughters look like. So almost half were unemployed. A quarter of them had no income, and 35% had $0 to $25,000. Slightly higher rates of graduation from high school and about the same of college and graduate school that we saw from the moms, or graduated from college as the moms. So when we asked the daughters about their relationship, and I really appreciate my co-presenter's point about the importance of qualitative data, when we sat down with the mothers and the daughters and asked them explicitly, what do you think about the relationship with your mom? They're like, yeah, you know, I know my mom's status, but we don't really talk about it. It's just something that we know that she has. So it's kind of like the elephant in the room. But quantitatively, they reported that they had great relationships with their mom. They say they can ask their mothers about sex. They reported being very close with their moms. The daughter's age of sexual intercourse was slightly higher. 35% reported having first sexual intercourse at the age of 17. 70% have had sex under influence of drugs or alcohol, similar to what we saw in the moms. 33% did not use condoms or dental dams during sex at last intercourse. And what I thought was very surprising was almost 50% of them reported images of TV were their biggest influence for having sex. So what emerged? We're still working through the full picture of what the data entails, but as I mentioned earlier, the mothers reported having other chronic diseases such as hypertension, very high rates of diabetes as well, depression and cancer, which we know increases the burden of living with HIV, and it's really difficult trying to manage all these multiple comorbidities. I remember listening to one of the transcripts, and a woman was saying she had to take 8 buses to get all the care that she needed. And you can imagine how difficult that is. And so I really am like pouring through this qualitative data because I think it adds a layer of context that we don't see in these descriptives. And there were some things that emerged qualitatively that we didn't see in the sample responding to an instrument or a scale, right? So differences between mother-daughter communication. On the scale, they're like, yeah, we have great communication, we're very close. But when you ask them one-on-one, they're like, well, you know, I do wish I was closer with my mom. Like, I do wish that we talked more about her HIV diagnosis. I don't really know. And I think a lot of that is tied to the high rates of depression we saw in the mom and a lot of the mental health issues. Stigma and shame came across very heavily in the qualitative interviews with the moms. This embarrassment, if you will, about their status. And so that's an opportunity for education and prevention, and using the mothers as ambassadors of care in their daughters' relationships. So mothers believe they talk to their daughters about sex. However, daughters don't think that their mothers talk to them about sex at all. So this is perception versus reality of what we actually think. Yeah, I talk to my daughter about sex, and the daughter's like, no, she really doesn't. So that's an opportunity. And what I was really encouraged by in looking through the data and reading the transcripts is that the daughters are really actually open and willing to talk to their mother about sex. They don't want to initiate the conversation, but they do want to have the conversation. And so Next steps for this will be, you know, finding some NIH funding to really develop an intervention around this, where you're recruiting mothers and daughters for this dyadic program. You spend time working with the moms, working with the daughters separately, then you bring them together to really have this conversation. Another thing that emerged were barriers to living healthy. The mothers in a sample expressed a want. They know, we asked them in a sample, what does it mean to be healthy? What are some of the barriers you have to being healthy? They said, yeah, the transportation system, the time, the community health center model, which you go into a center and it's a 9-to-5 model and you're working and there's no evening hours, there's no weekend hours, et cetera. All of these things are barriers. And also family stressors. The mom really talked about the need to really want to manage their family efficiently, be there for their family, their other children, other obligations that they have. And, of course, their HIV diagnosis sleeps further and further down the list of priorities. I also wanted to touch on, and if I get a chance to do this again, thank you, the fact that a lot of the mothers expressed no use of a protective barrier. This is after the diagnosis, at 23% during last sexual intercourse, which was either a dental dam or a condom. And so I think that's another opportunity for intervention and for encouragement with the moms and really getting them to understand what the impact of their diagnosis is and also the role that they can play. So how do we change this conversation around stigma and shame into an opportunity for prevention? And if you remember the statistics I quoted earlier, this is still very much an epidemic in New Jersey and Essex County, the Newark and East Orange and Irvington areas. And so I really want to delve further into how we can use the moms as ambassadors for change. Here are my references. Here's my information. Thank you so much for your time.